Cage, this young minister is going to just release Jesus. Amen. Yeah, you guys, they're going to just grab something from the closet. Sounds weird to say from the closet. But anyway, are you blessed? Are you ready for the word? If you have a Bible, you can turn to Mark chapter 5, and we're going to begin in verse 21. With this, just be gentle. With this thing, you're probably not going to be able to see the screen, so that just means you're going to have to be, man, old school and use the actual Bible. You guys remember those? You guys remember those? All right. My sarcasm is a little too much. Okay. You got it? There you go. Be very gentle. Gentle. Be nice. We're going to put it on the next step up here. Yeah, good job. You guys are just sweet men. Mark chapter 5, and just put it center in the stage here. Yeah. This morning, I want to pray, and we're going to talk about the priority of God's presence. There you go. We're going to talk about the priority of God's presence. And good thing that, I definitely need to preach this message. Okay. Lord, I'm messing. Lord, I just pray. We thank you for your presence that's in this place today. We welcome you to increase your glory, to increase your passion, God, for us. And God, I thank you that in this place that you're meeting with your people. And Father, I pray that the heart of Summit would come forth today. God, in Jesus' name, it's almost like we're like wells have been covered with rocks. God, in Jesus' name, I pray that today would be a day where the rocks get kicked off the well and the water gets access again. Father, we're asking for this in the name of Jesus. And if you agree, say amen. Amen. Mark 5:21. When Jesus had crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come, put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. Verse 24, so Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. Verse 25, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. I'm going to say 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. I love verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd, touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. And at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. And he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, yet you can ask who touched me? It's like the question is really who didn't touch you, but there's something happens with a touch of faith. Come on. Verse 32, but Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Amen. The presence of God changes everything. Can you say that with me? The presence of God changes everything. And this presence has to be priority because it's in his presence that we see clearly again. You know what I'm saying? It's the place where we get changed, where healing happens and refreshing and perfect love and peace comes. It's the atmosphere that we are made for, the glory of God. It's why that all of sin and fall short of the glory of God. That means when the sin is dealt with, we're back into our natural habits. Amen. The glory of God, the natural habitat, the presence. This is what we were made for. We were made to be in connection with God. And it's where we see clearly again. You know what I'm talking about? Where you go through a day and you're dealing with some stuff. And then all of a sudden you worship for like 1 minute. You pray in tongues for like a second. And all of a sudden you start liking people again. They're like, I love you, but I don't have to like you. No, you have to like them too. Come on, man. Jesus likes people. But like, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't like people. Like, read the Bible, homie. You know, like, this is what presence does, though. When you get in presence, you start thinking straight again. Your new creation nature starts coming alive again. You know, it's like life starts happening. It's like springtime all over again. You know, you just come alive. This is why presence has to be priority. It's not just like that one time when they sang that song that I really like and I started crying like 6 years ago. This is like every day, God, I have to be with you. God, I have to know you. God, I have to sense your presence. Not omnipresence, manifest presence. Omni means everywhere, all the time, at every time. But manifest is when God reveals himself and we get changed and we get touched and God shows himself real. Amen. But help me understand, like Pastor Dan was talking about last week, there's like the three disses, you know, and there's more, but there's like the disagreements, the disappointments, the disillusionments, the disappointments and the other things like guilt and the negativity, the I can't thing, the shame, the anger, the it's too hard, the rejection, the unforgiveness, my past, or how about like 2015, thank you, Jesus, we're past that. You, or fill in the blank with sin and fear all and anger. All these things are like barriers between us and God. And they hinder us. It's like they short circuit our passion. And I feel like the Lord, if I would say in one sentence, what I feel like he put on my heart is for us to learn how to push past barriers to get to his presence. This is the one thing I feel like God is saying to us today, that we have to push past the barriers to get to his presence, because there's barriers that not only keep us from our dreams, as Pastor Dale spoke about last week, but there's barriers that keep us from the manifest presence of God. And we need him so badly. We need him. And I feel like when I look at this story, I see that the woman had some barriers that were in her way of reaching Jesus. First thing that you look at when you see this is there was a crowd all around her, or all around Jesus rather. There is, in other words, she knew she needed to get to Jesus. And then in between her and Jesus, there was a crowd. And scripture tells us there was so much people and they were pressing and pressing him that they were actually almost suffocating Jesus. This is Bible. This is scripture. Like Jesus was like, it was hard for him to breathe. How many of y'all understand? Like when Rochelle and I were dating, like we used to do rock concerts because she was like into like heavy rock and roll, like the kind that's like, rah, 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 you know, like that kind of music. You know what I'm saying? They punch people in their concerts for fun. Yeah. Don't pretend like you don't know what I'm saying. And I remember going to these because I'm like, okay, I like you. Let's go to a rock concert. You know, like, hey. And I remember just going into those, and they're like, once the band starts, everyone just put, I remember one time we were up in the very front where the little railing is, and once the band started, everyone, they all push, and you're like, you know what I'm saying? I just think that this kind of might be a little bit what was happening to Jesus. That's just the way I think. But here's the deal. I feel like this is a huge barrier. There was something in between her and Jesus. There was a bunch of people in between her and Jesus. How many understand this is a barrier? There was people. It could be relationships that we deal with that are in between you and Jesus. Oh my God, that's good. There could be people in between you and Jesus. That was spontaneous. That just happened. I've been watching too much TD Jigs. Ha! You're like, whoa. Anyway, it just happens. But there's barriers, man. This stuff gets in between us and God. The second barrier that you see is that she was unclean according to law. You may not see it up on the screen, but Leviticus 15 tells us that when there is a flow of blood, when a woman has a flow of blood, she is unclean. Not just a regular monthly thing for 7 days, but literally for her, it was not 7 days. It was how many? 12 years. And she was unclean. And what that means for her is that she cannot touch people, because when she touches people, guess what happens? She makes them unclean. She can't even lay on her bed. She can't sit in a chair, which she's going to anyway. But when she sits on the bed or sits on the chair, it makes that unclean. Everything she touches, every person she touches makes unclean. How many understand that this is a difficult life to live? She could not live a regular social life because everything she touched got unclean. How many understand that that's going to frustrate some people? Be like, hey, how you doing? Don't touch me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't hug people. You can't slap high fives. You can't touch people. Some scholars believe that her husband divorced her because after 12 years, they couldn't touch each other. I mean, talk about what she's going through. She couldn't touch her kids. She couldn't have a normal social life, a normal relationship with people, because she was unclean. And she couldn't even go to church either. When you were unclean, you were not allowed to go to the temple or to the synagogue to worship God. So you couldn't bring a sacrifice. You couldn't do anything. How many understand like that probably brings some things like rejection. That probably brings some things like shame and disappointment. And how many understand she might have had a negative outlook on life. Cynicism might have got a hold of her. And she's just like, yeah. And so there's other barriers. She was probably physically weak because the loss of blood that she had consistently. Can you imagine like 12 years and blood being lost consistently for 12 years? You'd be like, I'm weak. I can't even physically make it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like you gotta identify with this woman here. And she had spent another barrier. She spent all that she had on doctors. She was broke. She didn't have any more money. And she didn't get better. She got worse. I read some of the commentaries about what some of the doctors of the day would have them do. And it was some weird stuff, man. They would be like, say this, chant this thing, eat some of the, it's like take 3 pieces of your grandmother's hair, put a couple bay leaves and swish it around with a rabbit foot, And then, like, if that doesn't work, it wasn't that witchcrafty, but you know what I'm saying? It was just weird. And they just had her, just weird stuff, and it's made her do this stuff over and over. And here's the deal. Sometimes we're going to all these other places for solutions when Jesus is the only one that can fix us. There's so many other options out there that don't work. Touch your neighbor and say, well, you need Jesus, man. And scripture actually tells us that Jesus, the one that she was putting her hope in, actually was already preoccupied with somebody else. So how many understand if you're this woman and you see where he's going, he's already got a job to do. I know you're busy. I don't want to bug you. Jesus was already preoccupied with healing someone else. And the person that he was going to heal, it was a daughter of basically the pastor. It was the synagogue ruler, Jairus. Can you imagine? Like sometimes we think that just because someone has a title or a leadership position, we think that God has to like loves them more than loves everybody else and gives them more attention or whatever it is. How many understand? God so loved the world, he gave his son. God loves all of us, man. And we can't think that just because someone has a title, they get a special inside to the blessing and healing and favor of God. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You want to be that person, then just seek God with everything you are. And so these are so many things that she was facing. And not to mention probably the things that were going on in her mind, the loneliness, the rejection, the hopelessness, all this stuff. And the thoughts of like why it would be too hard to get to Jesus. I mean, I'm saying sometimes we make some excuses up. And essentially what we're saying is it's too hard. It's too hard to wake up early. It's too hard to really press in. I don't understand the Bible. I don't get this. You want me to do what? Like, I don't even get it. How many understand that the best teacher on prayer is prayer? Y'all didn't hear me. The best teacher on prayer is to pray. Like, I need to read 5 books and listen to 17 sermons. Like, forget that. Get on your knees, shut the door, and start praying and saying, God, teach me how to pray. Teach me how your heart is, God. The best teacher on worship is worship. Like, I didn't take any classes on this stuff. I just knew that this is what God wants me to do. I used to pray Psalm 25. Psalm 25, I think it's verses 4 and 5. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and guide me, for you're the God of my salvation, and on you I wait all the day. This was my prayer when I got saved, because I'm like, I don't get anything. I don't understand this stuff. Like, everyone else looks like they get it. They lift their hands and they clap and they're all happy. I don't know why. I was a little embarrassed for them, but let's move on. Because now I'm one of those people. She had barriers, man. And we have to identify and realize that there's so many things that can get in our way of pursuing Jesus. But I love verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, somebody was telling their testimony. He went around teaching and preaching and healing all those who were sick. They came. The demon-possessed came. The paralytics came. The blind came. The lame came. The deaf came. The mute came. And Jesus healed them all. And somehow people started talking. This is why we tell testimonies. This is why you should tell your testimony, because it gives hope for somebody else. Like, you were in depression and God set you free. You were tormented by fear and anxiety attacks, but you're free now and you live in peace. Like, you had this and that, you know, cancers and whatever it is. We just had a testimony last week of someone diagnosed with leukemia and their white blood cell counts are going down. This brings hope. Like, thank you, God. And when she heard the reports about Jesus, faith comes by hearing, and she heard about Jesus, and faith and hope started igniting in her. And she thought to herself, and she said out loud, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Can I give you a little side note? So many people have speculated why she would think to touch the hem of his garment. Malachi 4:2 prophesies that the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. The word for wings in Hebrew is the very same word for corners of garments in Numbers 15:8 when they tell them. And so if she was knowing the prophecy, she might have found out that the Son of Righteousness came on the scene and there's healing, not in his wings, but in the edges of his garments. And she probably heard the prophecy and said, if I can just touch Jesus, if I could just get to him, I just need to touch Jesus. One touch is all I need. One touch. And I just feel like when she heard this, it ignited hope. And we hear the testimonies of what Jesus has done, how he saved us and forgiven our sins, and we don't live guilt-ridden anymore. When he heals all of our diseases, and back pains and torments and addictions are freed up. Like, he did that for you. He can do it for me. And so number one is this. We have to say yes to the pursuit. We have to say yes. We have to make a decision. She purposed in her heart that I'm going to go after God. And regardless of the obvious limitations, she said yes to the pursuit. And irregardless, like, who cares? Like, there is obvious limitations. She said yes. We have to let go of our excuses. We have to let go of our distractions. We have to let go of our reasons why it's not convenient to pursue his presence. I don't really like fasting. But I like it though. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you guys, but when I'm fasting, I have dreams. Like, I have daydreams about Red Lobster and an Outback Steakhouse. And if I'm fasting for long enough, McDonald's starts getting exciting to me. Give me that Big Mac. Any other day, I'd be like, get that thing out of my face. You know what I'm saying? We have, in spite of our obvious limitations, we have to just make a purpose in our heart. Yes to the pursuit. I have to get to God. I have to pursue his presence. I have to know. It's like she said in her own heart, like, I cannot stay the same. I can't live in this pain for another 12 years. There's something in him that meets a need in me. And my need for his presence is greater than my inconvenience. My need for God is greater than my inconvenience. And I'm believing for a whole passionate group of Summit Church that would say, my need for Jesus, my hunger for God is greater than my inconveniences, is greater than my disappointments, is greater than my I can't, is greater than my shame, is greater than my rejection, it's greater than my past. We have to say yes to the pursuit. Shout yes. And she said yes, she purposed in her heart. Sometimes we go like, man, I lost my passion. I lost my hunger. I heard one worship leader say it. It just touched my heart. He said, you know what? It's hunger for God is a gift. If you lose it, don't try to scrounge it up somewhere. Ask God for the gift of hunger. Some of us, I can't imagine if we took the next 21 days and every single day made our prayer, God, give me the gift of hunger. Give me the gift of longing. Give me the gift of desperation, a healthy desperation. You know what I'm saying? Not like desperate, like I'm an orphan and I need you to, no, desperate, like I'm your son and I need everything you have for me, God. And ask God, one thing I ask, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and behold him and seek him in his temple. We have to ask him and get in touch with our need of him. But how many understand that when you say yes to one thing, you're also saying no to another? When I said yes to Rochelle, I said no to every other girl on the planet. Amen. Number two, say no to the barriers. We have to say no. When you say yes to something, you're also saying no to something else. No to the barriers. Number two is we say no to the barriers. She did not let the barriers choke out her destiny, because these things in our minds, they stare at us and they try to intimidate us, but we must not let them dominate us. They mess with our heads, but we can't agree with them. Am I preaching to the right people today? These things mess with our heads. And all the while on the outside, we're lifting our hands saying, you are good, you are good. Oh, in our mind, we're going like, I'm not sure. Because this is going on and this isn't happening and this is what God's not doing. Like, I know you're good, but it's just this barrier. And they wrestle with us, trying to choke out our passion, trying to choke out our hunger. And this, I believe, is what happened in a visual way, like when with the woman, she provides us with a living parable. This is Luke 8:42. He records it like this. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. So when Jesus was on his way to go heal Jairus' daughter, the crowds actually almost crushed him. It literally means the Greek verb there, sympnigo, actually means to choke. And one Greek dictionary says it means to crowd around to the point that one can hardly breathe. To crowd around, to press against. And this Greek word appears five times in the New Testament, once in Luke 8:42, and the other four times in the parable of the sower. And Luke 8:14 tells us just a little bit before this story happened, he told the parable of the story, and he said, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. How many understand she heard? She heard the reports about Jesus. But as they go on their way, they are choked. Everyone say choked. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. This woman is providing us with a living parable of the seed that fell among thorns. Yet she made it through. How many understand? The seed is the word. And the word made flesh is Jesus. Jesus is the seed. And there's crowds around him, crushing him, choking him. And the woman's on the outside looking in, watching her dreams, watching her hope getting choked right before her. It's a living parable. The parable of the sower. Are you with me? Are you following me on this? This is what's happening. And I see this, like he is literally being crushed. The crowds are almost suffocating. She is seeing her hope get choked. She's seeing her answer get choked. And if she has the opportunity to let life's worries get in the way. It says life's worries, riches, and pleasures. She has an opportunity to let life's worries get in the way. And she could be asking herself these questions like, what if people get mad at me because I touch them and make them unclean? What if I get Jesus mad at me? Like some of us, we deal with this. Like, is God, is he well pleased with me, or is he kind of like on edge? What if Jesus gets mad at me for touching him? I'm weak. I can't press through. This is hard. What will people think? What will people do? But something switched inside of her. And she said, I can't live like this any longer. Who cares what people think? I might make someone mad, but I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to know him. I've got to touch him. And I can't let my dreams get crushed right in front of me. I can't let the destiny of my life, of my church, of my family, I will not let them get crushed right in front of me. I've got to press on. Shall press on. Hey. She watched it. She said, no, I will not be that part of the parable. I will not let the seed get choked out. Luke 8:14 says that the seed fell on the thorns and it's the one that choked it out. And it said the result is that it did not mature. It did not mature. The Greek word is telesphoreo, and it means to bring to perfection or maturity. It's used for fruits coming from when they're unripe to ripe. It's when babies are conceived all the way to full term. It's the word that's when animals bring their young to maturity. And here's what I like to propose to us today. What Jesus is saying in Luke 8:14 is that something had started with the seed, yet the thorns choked it out. This means that God might have spoken a promise. God might have said something in your heart, and he started something, and you felt it when he spoke it to you. years ago, today, yesterday, whenever it was, God did something in your life and the seed of God got inside of you and it started to blossom, it started to bud, and the little thing come and the thorns are coming for it. Here's the point, that God said something started, something was meant to be. She heard the testimony, faith got conceived inside of her, but she said no to the barriers and God started something inside of you. And our job is to let this baby come all the way to full term. Our job is to let this fruit come all the way to fruition. I wish I had somebody to help me preach. God wants the promises in your life to go all the way. We can't abort the baby halfway through. We can't abort the fruit halfway through. God has something. His word came from heaven to produce his fruit, and God wants to make something happen in your life if you would press past the barriers and say no to the barriers. Hallelujah. God wants us to press past the barriers. There's been things trying to choke us out, but God's caused us to press past the barriers and see this thing come to full term. I'm not giving up on my dreams. I'm not giving up on my pursuit of God. I have nothing if I don't have his presence. I have nothing. Take the world, but give me Jesus. You know what I'm saying? It's like when Lou said, there comes a point when you just want something so bad. I get it. I believe in the finished work of the cross. I believe Jesus lives inside of me. But just because he lives inside of me doesn't mean like my heart is fully aligned with his. And I want to know him. I want his heart to be like Paul prayed for the Galatians. He said, I'm laboring that Christ would be fully birthed in you, that you would have the full maturity of Christ. You read that? He's like, I'm laboring that Christ will be fully formed in you. Don't let him just grow up to a teenager. I want the 33-year-old Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean. The last thing is this. I think you already got it. Pursue God with passion. Number three is pursue God with passion. Do you know the word enthusiasm? What it means? If you use etymology, I like that. Like the study of where words came from. En means in, and thus, the enthusiasm part comes from theo, which means God. So literally word enthusiasm means to be possessed by God. You're like, why are you so passionate? Because God's fire is burning inside of me. I can't help it. I have to pursue God with passion. Breaking through this doesn't happen with passivity. The woman getting to Jesus doesn't happen like passively. Isaiah says in 55:6, he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. There is times in our lives when there's an opportune moment for you to press in for God. There's times in our lives when it's opportune for us. It's like, yes, you can seek God every single day, but there's moments. We're in a moment today. There's moments in our lives where we can't let it pass by and we see the crowds and we see Jesus and we're just going like, should I? Maybe not. I don't know. What are they going to think? What am I going to do? I don't know. And she just said, no, I'm breaking passivity and I'm stirring my passion. I've got to get to Jesus. I'm pressing past the barriers. Pressing past the barriers. I'm not waiting for another opportune time because it may not come. It may not come. We may just go to heaven and it's all done. But while I'm on the earth, I want to see his dreams for my life. I want to see his dreams for our church. I want to see his dreams for your lives. I want to see his dreams for our city and our region come to pass. And I don't want to get stuck getting choked out by life's worries, cares, and riches. I don't want to get stuck in disappointment and it's too hard, or rejection or disillusionment and fear. I don't want to be stuck there. I want to break through the barriers. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Somebody help me take this down. Thank you. And you can just come up and hold it, dude. I want to prophesy to you today. Yeah, that just needs to go on the ground somewhere. Thank you. I want this to be a prophecy for us today. Would you stand? This is the deal today. God wants to break through some stuff in our lives. And I want you to be enthused. inspire means to be breathed in by God. I want God to breathe in you. I want him to fill your souls. And I want God to prophesy to you today. This is us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. And we today, we choose to say yes to the pursuit and to say no to the limitations, to the barriers, and we will pursue God with passion. Come on and look at this. And this is us breaking through into our dreams, into our destinies, into our purpose. Break, break, break. Come on, shout your praises. Shout, we bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. Hey. Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands. Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we call forth the heart of Summit Church. We call forth the passion. God, it's been too long. It's been too long in the desert, God. It's been too long in the desert, God. I call forth the passion. I call forth. We are not mediocre. We are not halfway up the mountain. God, in Jesus' name, I call forth the heart of Summit. Come forth. Come forth. Come forth. Come on, pray with me. Come forth. The heart of Summit in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The hunger, the passion, the longing, the passion, God. In Jesus' name. The glory of God in this year like never before. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, don't stop. God, with everything that we are today. Hey! Come on. I can't live without your presence. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Come on. Just lift your hands. I can't live without. Presence, I can't live without your presence. Just pray in the spirit for a second, God, and thank you. Father, in Jesus' name, we just declare the shift in our church. We declare a shift in our lives. We declare a shift in our season. The old has passed away. The new has come. And Father, we thank you. The winter is past. We declare, we decree and declare the winter is past. The springtime has come and the sound of singing can be heard. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for it. And we thank you in our lives. We thank you in our individual lives for encounters day after day, week after week, that you send a shockwave through the rest of our year because of the hunger in our hearts and how you meet us in our faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm good. Amen. I'm done. Amen. Listen, altar team, you can come forward for those who are saying, like, you know what? I'd love to come to keep praying with me about this stuff and to keep seeking God. Tonight is Growth Track at 6:00. We will see you here if you're a part of that. And if you were like, hey, I'd like to actually just jump in. I wasn't here last week. Cool. Be here. I will see you at 6:00. Bless you guys with an immense passion. Amen. Yeah. Amen.